Is the web more like a bulletin board or a newspaper? A newspaper must make sure what its reporters write and op-eds published are not libelous and are factually correct. A bulletin board, well, we've all passed the mishmash of ideas posted on those in office break rooms. So which one is the internet as we now know it? And is that about to change?
With the passage of the Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act of 2017 in a unanimous vote Wednesday, the Senate approved a bill that could alter the way users and website hosts approach how they allow content to be posted on their sites. And the show's Lauren Gilger is here with more.
Hey, guys. So this morning I spoke with University of Minnesota visiting professor of law Alan Rosenstein about Section 230. It's a law that you've probably never heard of, but it has been the bedrock of the web for the past 20 years.
Sure. So Section 230, which was passed as part of the Communications Decency Act of 1996, makes internet service providers not liable for what their users do on the internet. So in concrete terms, if you're Facebook, and I'm a Facebook user, and I use Facebook to post some defamatory material about someone else, what Section 230 does is it makes Facebook immune from liability. So the target of my defamation can sue me, but they can't sue Facebook. What this law does is it amends that for a specific kind of post, and specifically posts that deal with sex trafficking. It makes internet providers like Facebook or Twitter or Backpage or Craigslist or any of those kinds of companies liable if they know that their services are being used to facilitate sex trafficking and don't do anything to stop it.
So let's back up for a quick second, though, and talk a little bit about what Section 230 has meant for the growth of the internet and for internet freedom.
Sure. It's hard to overstate how important Section 230 was for the growth of the internet. It's often called the Magna Carta of the internet because it is essentially the law that made the internet this kind of free speech, free-for-all zone that it is today. In the absence of something like 230, internet companies would be very nervous about what their users do, just in the same way that a newspaper can be very nervous about what its reporters or opinion columnists say. Without 230, internet companies would have the incentive to do what's called collateral censorship. They would censor their users fairly broadly because they don't want to risk their users saying something that could get them, the company, in trouble. And the question for Congress is, you know, 20 years after 230 was passed, is the internet so big and so important that this broad immunity is still appropriate?
Right. And so this law is sort of aimed at Backpage.com because Section 230 has been used over and over again, right, to defend Backpage.com. And they've won those cases multiple times, correct?
So they have won those cases, but it's important to put Backpage in particular in the proper context. So Backpage was doing more than just passively not really moderating its site while people put sex trafficking ads on it. It was pretty obvious that Backpage knew that the sex trafficking was going on. They were making money off of it, and they were happy to do so. So even before this law, there actually were other laws that allowed the government to prosecute Backpage for actively facilitating sex trafficking. So in a sense, although Backpage is the reason this law got off the ground, it's actually not about Backpage. What this law does, and why it goes far beyond Backpage, is that it imposes liability for a company that may merely know that this kind of behavior is going on, but is not sort of actively facilitating it in the way that Backpage did. Hmm. On the one hand, it will probably be successful in causing other companies to be really careful and monitor their sites really closely to make sure that all sex trafficking content is taken down. On the other hand, it might also cause those companies to censor content that may actually be fine.
So in that sense, does it turn into almost a First Amendment issue?
Well, that's what's tricky. The First Amendment only applies to what the government does. So in a sense, the First Amendment has no role on the internet as long as you're talking about what a private company chooses to allow you to post on their websites.
Mm-hmm.
Section 230 was so important because it became the functional replacement for the First Amendment on the internet. It created a set of incentives for companies to be very permissive with the speech, that with what their users could say on their platforms.
Right. So what kind of implications could this have then? Does it apply to regulation of social media sites and what users are posting there? Does it apply to ads online?
It applies to potentially all those things. But to be clear, it applies to them only in the context of sex trafficking.
Right.
Now, sex trafficking is a big deal. It's broadly applicable. And so even within the sex trafficking context, you might have a lot of impacts. But I think the really important thing about this law is the precedent that it sets. For 20 years, 230, that immunity liability, was considered untouchable. It was like the third rail of internet policy disputes. The fact that Congress has passed a law that limits that immunity is a huge deal. If they're willing to limit this immunity, they're basically willing to do any kind of regulation.
And so that's the worry from the tech community side of this.
That's the worry, that limiting 230 more broadly, that regulating the tech company, these are no longer unthinkable ideas.
How could this affect victims of online harassment?
By itself, it doesn't, because this law is about sex trafficking. But again, the precedent that it sets could be hugely influential.
Mm-hmm.
Why should only sex trafficking victims get the benefit of a law that limits liability? You know, why shouldn't, as you pointed out, victims of online harassment or of bullying or of defamation or of, and one can imagine any number of things. So the concern is that there are going to be a lot of copycat bills, because every group that wants to be able to sue technology companies for not protecting them is now going to lobby for their own version of this bill.
Alan Rosenstein is a visiting assistant professor of law at the University of Minnesota. Alan, thanks so much for joining us to talk about this morning.
Thanks for having me.